you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do this morning, please join me in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 all the way through 11 this morning. Today is part 2 of a 7-part series called The Seven, and we are studying the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. And this series is going to take us all the way through the end of November. And this morning, we are going to look at the church in Smyrna. As we continue in this series, looking at the revelation of Christ as revealed to these 7 churches, I want to encourage all of us with what Revelation 1:3 says. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near." In other words, we will be wise to listen intently to the words of this prophecy. We will be wise to listen to what Jesus says to these churches and to obey his message given to each of them, because he says the time is near. Jesus is coming back soon. Revelation 2:1 says, "The words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand." The 7 stars are the leaders or the elders, the pastors of these 7 churches that Jesus is speaking to, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 golden lampstands are the 7 churches that Jesus is speaking to. And Revelation 1:14 says, "His eyes were like flames of fire." What this is saying is this, is that Jesus, he walks among the church. Jesus walks among local churches. Jesus walks among our church, X-raying the church, looking intently into the heart of the church, looking past the surface, looking intently into the hearts of the people in the life of the church. Warren Wiersbe says, "Only the head of the church, Jesus Christ, can accurately inspect each church and know its true condition, because he sees the internals, not the externals. Churches are made up of individuals. It is individuals who determine the spiritual life of the assembly. So, while reading these messages, we must apply them personally as we examine our own hearts." Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the amazing and beautiful Word of God, Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, the church in Smyrna. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." Would you pray with me this morning? God, we come before your throne and we say thank you for, God, just the example of the church in Smyrna. A church who faced a lot, a church who went through a lot, and a church that was still continuing to seek you, a church that was steadfast after you. So God, we just ask and pray today that you would challenge us as a church, that you would challenge us as a people, that you would challenge us, Father, as individuals to be like the church in Smyrna. God, again, you know every heart, every need, every life that's in this place today. And by the power of the Spirit, as the Word of God is proclaimed, as the Word of God is taught, as the Word of God is exposed, we pray and we ask, God, today, by the power of your Spirit, by the power of the holy Word of God, that you today, Father, would do a work that can only be explained by you in my heart, God, in every single one of these hearts in this place today. God, we commit this time to you as we study your beautiful Word. We love you, God, we love you. We need you this day. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, please be seated. The church in Smyrna faced pressure. Jesus says to them, I know your tribulation. The word tribulation here means a pressing together. It means affliction, distress, pressure. So why did the church in Smyrna face pressure? Why did the church in Smyrna face tribulation? You see, Smyrna was a city loyal to the dominant Roman Empire. And because of the church at Smyrna's loyalty to God, they faced much pressure and tribulation on a daily basis. It would be the equivalent of us doing what we are doing in this room today on Monkey Island in an area controlled by the Islamic State. You see, it was extremely difficult for Christians to live out their faith in Smyrna. The Roman Empire, in their dominance, they required people to worship Caesar, who was the emperor of Rome, and to stand in defiance of Caesar, to stand in defiance of the Roman Empire. This resulted in a tough time of affliction and tribulation. You see, refusing to acknowledge Caesar as Lord could result in death and would surely result in trials, would surely result in pressure and tribulation. In AD 155, there was a man by the name of Polycarp who was the pastor of the church in Smyrna at the time, and he was burned at the stake for refusing to acknowledge that Caesar was Lord. And when he was being led away to be burned at the stake, people were pleading with him, Polycarp, just say that Caesar is Lord. They were begging him, say that Caesar is Lord. And Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? This is why Romans 10:9 was and is such a powerful statement for one to confess. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for the church at Smyrna to confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, this would have resulted in daily pressures and daily tribulation. To make such a statement would have been in complete defiance of the Roman Empire who ruled in Smyrna. And to make such a statement today goes in complete defiance of the American culture. Most Americans, at least in the South, would venture to say that Jesus is Lord. But do they really live like Jesus is Lord? In our culture today, it seems like everything else is Lord. Sports are Lord. Money is Lord. The lake is Lord. Golf is Lord. Hunting is Lord. Popularity and status can become Lord. Things can become Lord. Keeping up with the Joneses can become Lord. Happiness can become Lord. And if we stand up today and if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and we truly do live like he is the Lord of all, that he is the Lord of our lives, we will surely face pressure and tribulation like the people of Smyrna faced. We will face pressure to live life for ourselves. We will face pressure to spend our time and our money on our own pleasures. We will face pressure to make sure our kids are happy and involved in everything under the sun. We will face pressure to give up our weekends to sleep in instead of worshiping corporately with the people of God. We will face pressure to go the way of the world. Paul told Timothy, he says this, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You'll be harassed at times. Your friends may turn their back on you. Your family might even be divided. You might face some tribulation. You might face some pressure like the people of Smyrna did whenever you stand up for Christ. Next, The church at Smyrna faced poverty. Jesus says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. In the Greek language, there are two words for the word poverty. One word means to simply have, you know, not much left over after you've paid your bills, after you've, you know, bought your food, after you've lived your life. You don't really have anything extra. But the word used here to describe the poverty of the people in Smyrna is a completely different word. It is the Greek word tohia, which means completely destitute, having nothing at all. They had nothing. And Jesus says, I know your poverty. You see, the church at Smyrna, they faced poverty not because they were bad with money, not because they spent it on things they didn't need, not because they didn't work hard. The church at Smyrna faced poverty because they were followers of Christ. You see, if you were a Christian in Smyrna, you were an outcast. You were poor and you didn't have much money. And if you did have money or possessions, it was taken from you whenever you became a follower of Christ. Whenever you would confess that Jesus is Lord, you would go without. You would become poor. But Jesus told them, you are rich. In other words, they were rich in the things of God. The church at Smyrna, they were rich in eternity. And even though they were poor, according to the world, they had everything that they needed in Christ Jesus. And when you choose to follow Jesus, you will sometimes do without, just like the church at Smyrna did. You might have to forgo earthly popularity whenever you choose to follow Jesus. You might have to do without the nicest earthly possessions. You might have to do without as much time as you desire for yourself. You might have to do without some friends that you once held dear. Your family might even turn their back on you whenever you choose to go the ways of God. Whenever you choose to follow God, it might even divide your family. You might have to forgo the life that you dreamed of whenever you follow Christ. You might have to do without, but whenever you follow Christ, you will be supplied with so much more than you could ever imagine. You will be rich in Christ. You will be much more satisfied being rich in the things of God than being rich in the things of the world. The church at Smyrna was put down. In verse 9, it says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich in the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The word slander here, it means speech that injures a good name. You see, when you choose to follow the ultimate call of Christ, people will talk bad about you. People will put you down. People will speak good things about your name. And Smyrna was put down and faced slander by those who say they were Jews, but were not. What does that mean? It means this: just because they were physically Jewish, God's chosen people, it didn't mean that they were spiritually in Christ. Paul says this in Romans chapter 2. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. In other words, this means this: just because your mama is a Christian, it doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your grandma is a Christian, this doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your grandpa is a Christian, or your aunt's a Christian, or your uncle is a Christian, or your mom or your dad's a Christian, it doesn't make you a Christian. You become a Christian whenever you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whenever you confess that he is Lord and you live your life like he is the Lord of your life. And the people of Smyrna, they faced slander, an accusation by people chosen by God, the Jewish people, who ultimately would go on to reject Jesus as the Messiah. So how does this apply to us? When you choose to walk with Christ, You will be put down and face slander from the unlikeliest of people. People you thought were close to you. People you thought were good. People you thought were Christians. I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I love leading within, you know, the local church. I love it. But can I be honest with you about something this morning? I don't like telling people what I do. I don't. Because it seems like every single time that I'm starting a conversation with somebody, it always leads to this. Well, what do you do? And I always tell them, you know what? I have the honor and the privilege of pastoring a church. I get to be a pastor. And it seems like every single time a wall goes up between me and that person. People look at me differently. And here's the deal, church. Whenever you truly do live out your faith and you tell people that you are a follower of Christ and you are not ashamed of that, here's the deal. People just might look at you a little bit differently. Next, the church at Smyrna was persecuted. Verse 10, he says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days, you will have tribulation." Ultimately, persecution and suffering for following Christ is of Satan. But can I remind you what happens to Satan in the end? Paul says in Romans chapter 16, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Ultimately, all of this stuff that we're talking about, pressure and the poverty that they were facing because they were Christians, the slander that they were facing because they were Christians, all of this, the persecution was ultimately from Satan. But the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. But for now, Satan is after you. He's after me. He's after our families. He's after our church, just like he was after the church in Smyrna. During this time, imprisonment usually meant a death sentence. And Jesus was saying, Satan's after you. He's going to persecute you. He's going to throw some of you in prison. And usually, this meant a death sentence. William Barclay writes, "In the ancient world, imprisonment was merely the prelude to death. A man was only a prisoner until he was let out to die." They faced pressure because of their tribulation. They faced poverty. They were put down. They were faced slander. They were persecuted. And then we hear God's ultimate call for them. And this is God's ultimate call for every believer in Christ. He says this, "Do not fear. The devil's going to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation." And then he says this, the ultimate call to them and to us, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Be faithful to live for Christ in all of life's pressures, in all of life's tribulations and trials. Be faithful to live for Christ whenever you have to do without. Be faithful to live for Christ when you are slandered and when you are put down. Be faithful to live for Christ when you suffer for his name, when you're persecuted for living for his name. Why can we be faithful unto death? Why can we be faithful to live for Christ until the day that we die? Here's why. Because God has authority over death. Verse 8, Jesus says to them the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. At the end of verse 11, Jesus says to them, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. God has authority over death, and Christians conquer death through Jesus Christ, who is victorious over death. And there is no other way to escape the second death unless you are in Christ Jesus. So what is the second death? The first death concerns the body. The second death concerns the soul and the spirit. and it is eternal separation from God. Revelation 20. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Listen to this, church. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. D.L. Moody writes, he who is born once will die twice. He who is born twice will die once. This means in order to conquer death through Christ and to avoid the second death, which is eternal separation from God on high, you have to be born again. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus told Nicodemus, and if you've heard this scripture over and over and over again, listen, hear it again. Hear it again. Don't let this scripture go over your head. Hear it again. Jesus told Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How was one born again? Only by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The key word here is believe. And please understand, it's not just a head belief. The Bible says that even the demons believe. It's a belief of the heart that results in a life change. The word believe here in John 3:16, it means to be persuaded of, to be persuaded in your heart, and then to place your confidence in. It means to be persuaded in your heart that Christ is the only way to salvation and to place your faith and all your confidence in Jesus to take away your sin. In the church at Smyrna, they needed to hear these truths. They needed to hear these truths, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. They needed to hear this truth, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. They desperately needed to hear these truths. Why? Because they lived with the reality of death every single day. And you know what? So do you. So do I. At any moment, you or I, we could take our last breath like this, and we could face eternity in a moment. And the only way that you or I will go to be in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever is through Jesus Christ, by confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord and making him the Lord of your life and then truly living like that. So many people confess and say, oh yeah, Jesus is the Lord, but their lives reflect nothing of that. We confess that Jesus is the Lord and we live like he is the Lord of our life. We can be faithful unto death because God has authority over death. Next, because God knows everything that you will go through. God knows everything that I will go through. Look at what he told the church at Smyrna. He says, I know. I know. I know everything that you're facing, church. He knew everything they were facing. He knew the tribulation they were facing, the pressure they were facing, the poverty they were dealing with, destitute, absolutely having nothing. He knew that they were being put down by slander, that their good name was being attacked. He knew they were being persecuted. And listen, God knows everything that you are facing today. God knows everything that you are facing. Everything. He doesn't miss a thing. He knows every single pressure that you are facing, like he knew the church at Smyrna. He knows the financial issues that you are facing. He knows the health issues that you are facing. He knows the marital issues that you are facing. He knows the sadness that you're facing. He knows the anxiety that you're facing, the worry that you're facing. He knows the depression that you are facing. You name it, you fill in the blank. He knows it. And you know what? As he has authority over death, he has authority over every single detail of your life. He knows and he has authority over everything. And if he can conquer death, he can conquer anything that you're facing. He knows what you are facing. And I believe with all my heart that someone in this room today, you need to hear this. You need to be reminded today that God knows. You've been living for a while and you've been asking this question. God, where are you? I want to know, like the church at Smyrna knew that you were with them. God, I want to know that you're with me. Please be reminded today. You might not feel the presence of God in your life. You might not feel him there, but can I just remind you that he is there? The Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there. And God is simply asking you to be faithful to him until you die. And he will take care of everything that you are dealing with. He just wants your faithfulness. He knows. You can be faithful unto death next because God is with you and you do not have to fear. God told them, the church at Smyrna, he says this at the beginning of verse 10. He says, do not fear. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Do not fear that you're getting ready to be thrown into prison. Do not fear the tribulation that you're facing, the poverty that you're facing, the slander that you're facing. Do not fear, I am with you. Did you know that this phrase, do not fear, is one of the most frequently used phrases in all of the Bible? And the church at Smyrna needed to hear this as they lived with persecution and the possibility of death every single day. They needed to be reminded that God was on their side. Listen, you need to be reminded today as well. God is on your side. God is on your side. You have nothing to fear. You can be faithful to him until you die and not have to fear or worry about anything, about any detail of your life, because God is with you. He wants your faithfulness, and he will take care of the rest. So do not fear when you get that grim diagnosis from the doctor. Be faithful to God. God has authority over that diagnosis. Do not fear. He has the authority. Do not fear whenever you choose to stand up for Jesus with your life and it might cost you something. Be faithful to God. Do not fear. He has the authority. Do not fear when your finances do not seem to line up. Be faithful to God. He has all authority. Do not fear. And this is spoken to a local church. This is spoken to an actual local church, the church in Smyrna. And this church needed to hear this. And listen, we can apply this to us today as a church. We as a church, Lake Center Baptist Church, have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear as God calls us to go to Panama, as God calls us to go on mission trips, as God calls us to do things outside of the walls of the church, as God calls us to do things differently as a church to reach people. Listen, we have nothing to fear as a church, right? We have nothing to fear because God is with us. On Friday night, we went to my parents' house and stayed the night. They live a couple of hours from here. And my dad has made a hay bale maze for my sons out of all the hay that he'll feed his cows eventually in the wintertime. And my sons are loving this hay bale maze. And at about 9:30 the other night, they wanted to go outside and go through the hay bale maze with me. I said, okay, let's go through the hay bale maze. But I said, here's the deal. I'm not going through it. I'm going to get on top of the hay bale maze and play on top of it because there's spiders everywhere, all right? So we didn't go through it. We got on top of it and just played for a while. And after a while of playing on the hay bale maze, we decided to lay down and to look up at the stars. Well, Jude realized after a while that it was really dark out there. It was really dark. And he said, Daddy, I'm scared. I want to go inside. I said, why do you want to go inside, Jude? He said, because there's nobody out here with us. And I looked at him and said, Jude, I'm out here with you. And he goes, oh, we have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Listen, God's with you. God's with you. God's with us. We have nothing to fear. We can be faithful unto death, lastly, because God will give you the crown of life. God will give you the crown of life. He says to them at the end of this, end of verse 10, he says, and I will give you the crown of life. The word crown here is defined as the eternal blessedness given to as a prize to those in Christ. This is a crown of life. A crown of life for all of eternity. And you can be faithful to God until you die because there is a crown of life waiting for you. Can you imagine the encouragement that the church of Smyrna would have gleaned from just hearing these words? Here they are, trying to live out their faith in a city that is ruled and dominated by the Roman Empire. And they're facing pressures, tribulation, poverty, slander. They're being put down. They're being persecuted. Jesus says to them, don't fear. Be faithful unto death. There's a crown of life waiting for you. And God says the same thing to you and I today. Be faithful to me. There's a crown of life waiting on you. And I speak this to all of us today in this room. Living out the Christian life at times is difficult. Let's just be honest. It is. There's times where you think it would be so much easier just to go the way of the world, to not have to go against the grains of the world, to go just with the world. It'll be easier. But listen, church, it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. There is a crown of life waiting on you. And the crown of heaven for your faithfulness to God is so much greater than any crown that you could ever attain on this earth. So much greater. Teenagers in this room, children in this room, you will never regret being faithful to God in all of the temptations that you will face. There is a crown of life waiting on you. Parents in this room with young children, you'll never regret going against the grain of culture and raising your kids in the things of God. You'll never regret being faithful to God in this way. There's a crown of life waiting on you. Widows in this room, widowers in this room, senior adults in this room, there is a crown of life waiting on you. Continue being faithful to God. God has all authority over every single one of your situations. He knows everything. He doesn't miss a detail. Do not fear. God is in charge. There is a crown of life waiting on you. McGee says this, the Lord has special crowns for those who suffer. I know many wonderful saints who are going to get that crown someday. My friend, if you are suffering at this moment and you have wondered if he cares, he has something for you in eternity. You will get something that no one else will be getting except others in your condition. That crown of life means that you are really going to live it up someday. That crown of life means that you are really going to live it up someday. So where are you today? How is God speaking to you? How is this message spoken to your heart? Are you dealing with pressure of some kind today? Maybe it's just an emotional pressure. Maybe it's a pressure in your family. Maybe it's a pressure in your job. Maybe it's a pressure to try to make all the ends meet. Are you facing a pressure? Are you facing some sort of poverty today? Are you doing without because you're following Christ? Are you facing something like that? Are you facing some kind of slander? Are you being put down because of your faith in Christ? Is it hard for you to live out your faith where you work today or where you live? Are you being persecuted today? And God says to you, the ultimate call for every believer, be faithful unto death. Be faithful. Why can you be faithful? Because he has authority over death and he knows everything that you're going through. You don't have to fear, and there is a crown of life waiting on you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And before we pray, I'm just going to ask you this question. Are you sure that whenever you would die one day that you would escape the second death that we talked about a few moments ago? That you would go to heaven to be with Jesus? Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord? That Jesus is the Lord? Have you placed him as Lord of your life? For the church at Smyrna to confess this, it would have cost them their life. You see, you give up something whenever you confess that Jesus is Lord. You give up the right to yourself. You die to yourself and you follow the way of God. This morning, you want to be saved from your sin that separates you from God? You confess that Jesus is Lord and make him the Lord of your life. Place him as the Lord of your heart. You can do that right from where you're seated. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from your sins. Maybe today you're facing some kind of pressure. Just give that pressure over to God. Say, God, I give you this. Maybe you're dealing with something today because of your faith, or maybe you're just dealing with something in general because of life, because life is difficult, because life is hard, because of life's trials, because of life's pressures, you're dealing with something. Just be reminded today that God has authority over everything that you're dealing with. He has authority over death. He has authority over your situation. He knows everything that you're going through. You don't have to fear, and you can be faithful to him because he will work everything out for you and for his glory, and there is a crown of life waiting on you. In just a few moments, we're going to have a time of response, a time of prayer, and there'll be people up here who would love to pray with you. If this is you today, you're facing a pressure. You're facing something that life has thrown your way, and you need prayer. Just come forward and receive prayer. Please understand, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to ask the question, why is this person needing prayer? We're simply going to agree with God, with you, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Maybe today, you just want to come and kneel at this altar. Maybe today, you just want to give this pressure that you are facing over to God. You come forward and you do that. You do business with God in just a few moments. You don't leave this place today without doing business with God as he is calling you to do so. God, we thank you today for the example of this amazing church in Smyrna that lived for you whenever they faced tribulation and poverty, whenever they faced slander, whenever they were put down. They lived for you. So, Father, help us to be a people who would live for you the exact same way, who would not be ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ when the world goes against everything that we believe. God, help us to be people who would be faithful to you until death, knowing full well that we will one day receive a crown of life. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for knowing everything that we go through. In your name we pray. Amen.